Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns, KBNF's gardening show. And my name is Jill, and I'm, of course, here with, I love saying it, guru gardener, Lance Swaggart.
Good evening.
Good evening, Lance.
Yeah.
You feeling like gardening?
I am.
I know. The warm weather out there is getting everybody hankering to...
Yeah, I'm getting phone calls. Whenever it warms up,
right.
I'm getting phone calls. And I've actually started a few things. I have gone ahead and make 2 compost piles.
Oh, already on the compost.
Starting that, and I'll make 2 more. And then the other thing I started doing was edging beds, digging the grass out.
Uh-huh.
I've mentioned in the past, like, I don't like the garden edging, the metal edging. I don't like the looks of it. So I dig the grass out every year.
So you just like that nice, even line, nice mm-hmm. and clean. Mm-hmm. And everything's dry and good, so kind of easy to go through and
Yeah, the
make
soil's
a nice line
still
there.
Cold.
Mm-hmm.
If you get down 2 or 3 inches, it's actually cold. It was dry enough, but it's cold.
Yeah. It's cold, but not super frozen.
No, it's not frozen.
Right. And you have some stuff coming up.
Oh, the lettuce is coming up.
Okay.
And the spinach is growing just fine. And I uncovered some, what are they? Helium chrysum? It's a.
Ooh, what's that?
You need a lot to make the essential oil out of it.
Oh, okay.
It's a yellow daisy. Yellow daisy flower. And right now I think it's like $400 an ounce.
Oh, my goodness.
Pure essential oils. And that seemed to have survived the winter.
Oh, wow.
Really well.
And did you know that was there? Had you planted that previously?
I planted it last summer.
Uh-huh. Okay. So planting this stuff way ahead has yielded you a bounty already.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm
That's pretty cool.
And if it, if it doesn't start raining or snowing, I've pulled hoses out just to water that lettuce and spinach.
Right, because it's a little bit dry right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff that you planted in November.
November,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's that winter crop that we talked mm-hmm. about. And did you have that covered?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Just
regular planting with a little dusting, an eighth of an inch of compost on top.
Okay, and here you have it coming up right now. I want to remind people that this is a call-in show, and we're going to get talking here in just a minute about pruning.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to prune. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And specifically, if you've got a pruning resource that you find valuable, a book or something that you work
uh-huh.
off of, call us and let us know what that is. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I've just done hands-on for 20-something years.
Okay, well, that's good experience. You could write a book if you had time and you weren't pruning so much.
Or skiing.
Right. Well, speaking of skiing, or this is the opposite of skiing, you've already spotted lots of bugs out there in this warm weather.
I dated this. I went for an afternoon walk February 6th, which was last Friday. Bees, butterflies, ladybugs, grasshoppers.
Tell me no.
Yeah, and of course the spiders, they can come out pretty easy.
Yeah.
And the bees, if it ever gets above 45 degrees, they're out regularly too. But that was surprising to see the butterflies and the grasshoppers and ladybugs.
Yeah, that is really surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? What elevation were you at?
Over 6,000.
Over 6,000. Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. over 6,000.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to remind our listeners, too, that you can go to thealmanac.org and you can log the changes that you're seeing out
mm-hmm.
there. Part of the IC Change project that KVNF is involved with, and things are different this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've also had critters coming
out
of the woodwork.
Yeah, coming out of the woodwork with it being warmer. And I've had a couple scorpions. For some reason, they like my bathtub.
Uh-huh. They like that moisty kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one was in the bathtub, and then the other one was up on the wall. And so, anyways, it's a little unnerving, to say the least.
Yes. Is there any, like, Nolo solo bait for scorpions? I mean, that's
well,
spooky.
If I really wanted to, I got both of them outside. And if you really don't want to be bothered with them, you keep the lights on. They're nocturnal.
Uh-huh. So you need a night light in your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them down in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, let's get to pruning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to give the listeners the number again, 527-4868-1-866-KVNF now. So is this normally the typical time of year that you start to prune, or is it now that we're starting because it's unseasonably warm right now?
No, January, February, and March.
Okay.
And if you just have a few trees, the later you prune, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because cold can harm a fresh cut like that.
Better late than early, I think you mentioned.
Yeah, better late than early.
Mm-hmm. And you were telling me that what can actually happen is that cold can travel down.
Into the cut. Yeah, and usually you're cutting above a bud or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could kill what you left that you wanted to grow.
Right.
If it got really cold.
Uh-huh, so you want to be... Might feel like it's warm and time to prune, mm-hmm. but you want to be conscious of whether or not a good freeze is going to come again. Mm-hmm. And so there's probably an order or best practice for what trees you're going to prune first.
Yeah, well, I do my apples and pears first, mm-hmm. and then I move into the apricots and the plums and cherries. I don't have any cherries because the birds get them all. So I just took the two cherries out, and that was that.
And then, no worries there.
No. Mm-hmm. And,
is this sort of the order of cold hardiness, maybe? Is that what you're kind of going in?
Yeah, that's what you do. And I have actually seen apple trees pruned in November soon, or October, November, December. And they seem to be okay. But again, if you have a really cold winter, it can do some harm.
Right. And is a younger tree more susceptible to problems with the cold, or a younger tree might be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's really cold, especially stone fruit on young trees, it can kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that has happened.
Yeah, and does a tree normally fruit out its first year after you plant it? Does it depend on how old it already is? Or
it can, but you really don't want it to fruit that first year or the second year. The second year you might let a couple go just so you know how it tastes. But the reason why you let those take all that off is because you want root growth.
Okay, you want it to really get established.
And the thing with young fruit trees when you first planted them is you don't want to prune them too much.
So do you wait a few years?
Well, there's a pruning technique for when you plant.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the next year. But if you take off a lot of that leaves, those first couple of years, there's not enough there for them to grow.
Okay, so you've kind of stripped it of its, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, its ability.
Yeah, so after about the third or fourth year, then you start pruning it, and you're shaping it a little bit. But,
right. That shape is fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so in apples and pears, there's different techniques, and this is just really basic stuff because it's really a hands-on thing.
Sure, but... Some of us don't know. We get out there with the pruners, and we just kind of go for bonsai look.
Yeah. Well, anyways, there's the apples and pears generally have fruiting spurs, and they can get pretty old and woody, and everything does better on young growth.
Okay. So a fruiting spur is where the blossom's going to come out.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. there's actually spurs, and you can see them. Mm-hmm. That's just the term, or bud. And those big clusters, when they get old, they might bloom really good, but they don't bear very much fruit.
Okay.
And so you want to develop so that it always has new wood, or actually last year's growth. And you can tell it because I was just out pruning the apples. The new growth is a brownish purple.
Okay.
And it will get lighter if it's a light-colored apple, like a Golden Delicious or green. And it gets darker red when it's like a Red Delicious or Rome or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you just want to thin. One of the old-timers, Ray Bruce, that had an orchard right next to Delicious Orchards now.
Uh-huh.
And his phrase was, you take some and you leave some.
Okay.
So you're just thinning is what you're doing.
Thinning, okay.
And there's more modern techniques to get better production. And that's too complicated to talk about on the radio.
Okay, yeah, that's...
and stuff. But anyways...
Take some, leave some. I kind of like that attitude.
Yeah. And the pears are the same thing. But the new growth on them is a tan, and it's very supple. You know, you can easily bend it and not break it.
Okay, and even this time of year now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are... So again, you want to prune those to have some of that. There'll be some spurs that you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a balance.
Right. And taking off that spur is essentially that taking off that hardened woody kind of thing to allow
If it's really old, I take them out no matter what. Unless there's absolutely nothing else there that's going to do something, but I'll take it out.
Almost like letting it breathe.
Now, there is something, I don't know what the new, modern varieties of apples and the size. You know, we have dwarf, we have semi-dwarf, and you can still have standard trees.
Right.
Certain varieties of apples bloom on certain different parts of the tree.
You mean lower?
No. Well, yes. Some bloom on the very tips
of the branches.
Some bloom in the middle, halfway to the trunk, and some bloom right in the center of the tree.
Okay, so depending on the variety that it is, it might bloom in a different section of the tree.
Yeah, so you'd have to prune accordingly.
Okay,
and
good to
so
know.
You would have to know your apple variety and where it likes to bloom. And like I said, with the newer varieties and those dwarfs and semi-dwarfs and all that stuff, that might not hold true anymore. So you have to check it out.
Really check it out and see how that plant grows, how that tree grows, how it fruits out.
Yeah, and that's in apples.
In apples.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to remind everybody of the phone numbers, 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. Tell us what you're pruning. So we've talked about apples and pears. How about apricots? Seems to be one of the first thing that flowers in the spring.
The apricots... stone fruit in general, they only bloom on last year's growth.
Okay.
And you can see it. The apricots are reddish brown and very supple. And it's shiny. It's not woody.
That's last year's growth.
Last year's growth is this year's fruit.
Okay.
And so, again, it's thinning. And the other thing is if you don't prune them hard, they don't produce that much new wood. So you prune them hard to produce more wood. And the reason that's for the next year.
To really make it go gangbusters kind of.
Yeah. So it's actually some of your pruning you're doing now is actually for next year's crop, not this year's.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you have to watch that. And apricots and peaches, if you top them and there's no supple growth, like I said, last year's growth, they have a tendency not to sprout out. So you would have just a stump there.
Okay, so you've got to be careful about that.
Yeah, so you don't want to be doing that. Yeah.
Stumpy apricot trees just are not appealing.
They don't sucker out like an apple or a pear. Plums will do it some, but not as much. And I'm not that familiar with cherries. I've never topped them.
Okay. Is the apricot susceptible to cold? It seems like...
It's really, really hardy.
Yeah. It's really hardy.
It comes from the region... Same region as apples in the world.
Oh, in the world.
Yeah, that's another topic we'll talk about in the future of where our food crops come from. And apples and apricots came from Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan. That's where they actually came from. And they actually are mixed. The higher the mountain you went, the more apples. The lower you went, you got apricots. And then there was the mixed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I thought that was... Abundant.
Quite spectacular.
Yeah, I bet it was spectacular. I'd love to talk about that on a show, that seed-saving thing related to my brain thinking. So that's fascinating. And so any more advice on plums or cherries, apricots, those seed fruit?
Stone fruit. And peaches are the ones that I won't probably prune till March.
Peaches last.
And they are the most susceptible to if there is cold weather.
Yeah.
So I've noticed out here on the highway, just out of Paonia, that Stahl's Orchard's there. There's a peach orchard right across from the gas station, and he pruned those.
He's already pruned.
Yeah.
Well, he has a lot of trees there. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do,
Yeah, and
too.
The weather was warm enough, they went for it.
Right.
So, I find it easier to prune stone fruit because you want all that last year's growth. So it's right there. And sometimes what I'll do, if I don't see that it's going to sprout out for next year's thing, I'll leave a little bit of a stump on some of that so that with one shoot. So it will push a shoot out of there for the next year.
For next year.
And I'll actually do that. I'll be watching for those things.
So those stone fruits are a little bit easier to... prune.
Yeah, they're you
can tell exactly pretty much what you need to do.
And sometimes it's And you make apples, you make straight, and stone fruit or peaches, you make crooked. That's just the way they grow.
Okay.
And it's what happens. And, you know, that what can I say? It's just what happens.
That's good to know. I mean, if you're out there and you've never pruned. And speaking of being out there, what kind of tools are we talking about? What are some things to remember?
That's a good one. Well, I have a hand pruner.
Being like almost like a sheary kind of thing?
No, a hand pruner. And that particular model, a Falco model, I just bought one. It's $70.
Okay.
But it will last me the rest of my life.
And does that handle what size of trees or what type
of trees? I wouldn't want to do it all day long, but I can take 3/4-inch branches off with that.
Do you want to arm wrestle?
No. No. And then I have loppers, which are the long-handled ones.
Uh-huh.
And there's several different, I have 3 different lengths.
And so that's lopping branches higher up.
It's the same design as the hand pruner. It's the bypass, I think, is what the term is. And there's anvils and stuff. But anyways, and I keep these all sharp.
Uh-huh. That's probably a real good recommendation there.
And then, like I said, I have 3 sizes, different length of handles. Now, the shorter one I use just for the grapes or roses or something like that. The longer ones, you know, especially standing on top of, almost on top of a ladder, and you're still reaching up, you know.
Yes, that, I hope you must have good core strength from that, because you could be awful tall. Wind could come over and just
take care of it.
Yeah, take care of it.
Be easy. So anyway, so that.
Help you right over.
And then I have saws.
Saws.
Limbing saws is what the term is, and depending on the size of the branch.
You might need to really.
I actually have a folding one, which is great. Just sits in the back of the pocket. And sometimes that's good for up to 2 inches. But sometimes you have to take out bigger things.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the limbing saw, I got even a bigger one of that. And then we didn't mention it, but I had one apple tree that really had bad fire blight.
Oh, right. I remember
that. And I took
the
chainsaw.
Oh, my.
I cut out 6-inch branches.
Wow, that is bad fire blight.
Yeah, I just, I didn't take out the tree, but I did cut it back and see if it sprouts and does good, then be okay. If not, I'll take the tree out.
Gosh, some of the coolest trees I've ever seen are like an old cottonwood that was just cut down and it just started coming back. And it's like this giant stump with this nice little kind of bonsai looking, you know, in a cottonwood sort of way. But
yeah. And the other thing is I have disinfectant.
Oh, right. For something like fire blight.
Fire blight, generally you use bleach, and it's 1 part bleach to 9 parts water.
You just have a squirt bottle or something?
A squirt bottle, and I hang it in the tree. So I had all of my trees, apple trees, and a little bit on one of the pears had fire blight. So every time I cut, I sprayed it, and I sprayed after the cut.
So you've got to really clean that, because you'll spread it. You'll spread fire blight.
It's not as hard. It doesn't spread as easily this time of year because it's dormant. You're only cutting about 3 inches below the fire blight this time of year. In summertime, you're cutting 16 to 18 inches below because it's so active.
Wow. So good. This is a good time to cut.
It's much easier now.
Mm-hmm. And we spot fire blight. Is that blackish thing going on?
There's a black canker on the side, on the bark, where a little branch will come out.
Okay.
And that branch will be dead. Or sometimes the tip of a shoot is dead, and it looks like it's been burnt.
Okay.
It's black. Mm-hmm. And how I noticed, I was pruning some trees for a friend today, and they had, and you could just see it. And the other thing is, the leaves don't fall off. So anything with leaves, you have to take a look at. Now, she had some leaves that didn't fall off, but that was because during the summer she had a webworm in there, which is a type of caterpillar that makes a big web, and they all live in there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they usually are on cottonwoods and stuff, but they can get into your fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why some of those leaves hadn't come off, because the webworm had been in there. But most of it was fire blight.
So that's a good indicator. If you've got leaves hanging out there, go check out your branches.
And you can see there will be a black canker on there, and you cut 3 inches, minimum of 3 inches this time of year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you spray the pruners or the saw, whatever you're using.
The chainsaw.
Yeah. Whatever you're using, you spray it.
And get rid of that fire blight.
Yeah. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to ask you about planting tips because sometimes, like you say, you're up there on this giant ladder with this giant lobber.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some... You've learned a lot about where to plant, yeah, and where not to plant,
well,
what makes pruning easy.
Working in so many yards, please do not plant a tree next to a fence.
It's hard to get in there.
Yeah. A fence, a wall, unless there are trellising techniques of espalier, which is a way of trellising a tree on a wall or a fence or something. And I don't see it much here, but it can be done. And you're usually doing it with apples and pears and plums. I've never heard of peaches being done. They're too brittle.
Uh-huh.
The wood's too brittle.
That sounds fascinating.
But yeah, you can do it all over Europe. It's done because of limited space.
Right, right. You got to make use of every piece of land you have there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you pay attention to the planting calendar, you want to prune when?
On the planting calendar, the biodynamic planting calendar, you prune on fruit days.
Fruit days.
Or flower days.
Or flower days.
And if you really have one, mine actually has even a better time, fruit and flower days, during the northern transplanting time. So it gets pretty
dead. Which means?
Well, you'd have to look at the calendar, which is the transplanting time. I just happened to look at that. Just I wonder if they're saying anything about it is to the like 12th or 14th, which is only a couple of days away.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And I don't think there's... fruit or flower day. Maybe at the very end there's a flower day.
So the planting calendar saying get out there and start pruning.
Yeah. And I'm doing so much that it's not something that I really pay that particular one. I don't pay too much attention to.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you got a lot to do.
Yeah.
We've got so many calendars in our lives anymore. Pick your top three.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Go with your top three. How about flowering shrubs like roses? I always wonder. I'm just itching to
roses. Well,
trim those
back. How many rose varieties do we have? The hybrid teas, you don't touch them until 2 weeks before last frost.
And that's because they're cold susceptible?
Yeah, and when you prune them, they really want to grow.
Oh, okay.
So if you prune early,
setting them up.
And they'll start to sprout. But if you prune early, they start to really grow, and then, bam, they get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to prune those, again, better late than early.
Okay, better late than early.
So that's cyber teas. Now, I actually have pruned the hedge roses that I have, and I don't really prune them. I thin them.
Okay.
And I'm thinning them to the ground. And these are the Austrian copper rose, Persian yellows. You've seen these hedges, and they're bright orange or bright yellow for a week or two.
Yes, they're fabulous.
And I had those in my hedge grove. And I just, I'm not trying to do anything fancy. I'm just trying to keep them thin so other new growth can come out for the future.
Yep, that's healthy.
And they bloom on old wood, your hybrid teas and your, I think there's floribundas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the vine.
Floribundas.
Mm-hmm. And they bloom on new wood.
Okay.
And that's the new growth that comes up. That's why you don't want it to get frozen.
Right.
And... you prune accordingly.
Okay, that's interesting. Now I understand that a little bit more when I'm looking at the plant.
Mm-hmm.
What happens on old growth? What happens on new growth or new wood?
And one of the mistakes people make with their rose vines is they get that thing and it's grown 10, 12, 15 feet. They're not really a vine. These are just long shoots. Vine would have tendrils or curl around something.
Right.
They'd have some way to attach themselves. But they have this extreme rapid growth, and that gets old. And when it gets old, you need to take it out.
Okay.
Otherwise,
don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. And I've worked for people, we can't take that out. And I says, well, you're getting less and less flowers.
Right.
And you actually have to.
Yeah, sometimes it hurts, but after you do it.
Yeah, and I've showed some people, we said, all right, we're going to take this one old one out and left the rest of them. And if you only take one out a year... You're rotating it.
There you go.
You know? And lilacs are
another. Yeah, lilacs.
All your flowering shrubs, you technically bloom or prune after flowering. Because if you prune now, you've cut the blossom off.
Even a lilac, huh?
Yeah, the lilac's blossoms are already formed.
Mm-hmm. And lilac is great because you can really shape that tree.
Yeah.
And what are the other reasons you want to trim your lilac? Does that
promote
blooms?
Plants bloom better on new wood.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
there
so
you go.
The old traditional or conventional way, you don't ever see it here to speak unless somebody's really, really into lilacs, mm-hmm. is you actually prune out 1/5 every year.
Mm.
Old, middle-aged, and new. You take out 1/5. And you're thinning. You're cutting, right. You're cutting them off at the bottom. You're not topping them.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you have all sorts of bearing wood. Fruit or flower bearing wood. And then if it's still something
that
you want
sense.
To top, then you top it then, you know, but mm-hmm. don't do any topping until you've thinned it. And this is a big mistake and people just let them grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes me think differently about my lilacs, which mm-hmm. I love so much. And I like that thought of giving it all these layers of new wood growth in there kind of.
And if you got a lilac that's completely out of control, you can't prune it now.
You can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've actually, might sound funny, but those big old trunks of lilacs, uh-huh. it's really good firewood.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's a good hardwood.
Does it smell good?
No, it doesn't smell good. But we got one plant that we haven't talked about.
Oh, we've got maybe 30 seconds.
It's 30 seconds. Yeah. Grapevines.
Grapevines.
First week of April. That's up at this end. You know, who knows if you're down in Delta or Grand Junction, probably the first part of end of March or something.
Right. So no worries about that yet.
Yeah. But anyways, again, they bear fruit on new wood, and each bud, when you prune it down, I can't get technical, but each bud on a healthy tree will have 2 clusters of grapes.
Okay. That's
and
a nice
this
little...
is table grapes. I'm not talking wine
uh-huh.
grapes.
Yummy.
There's a different pruning technique for those guys.
Okay, so table grapes, wait till April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll be back to talk about pruning again because time is flying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Lance. Lots of great information tonight.
Thanks.
And fun talking about this and getting excited about cleaning up our yards and getting out in the garden. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And come tune in next week, 6:30 on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Katie Neff.
Pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, the whole little low and low.